Where's the jewelry?
Reacher didn't answer. He was estimating time, 280 steps, somewhere between 2 and 3 minutes before the refueling guy arrived, however fast he moved. And 2 or 3 minutes should be enough. It was a long time since Reacher had been in a fight that had lasted longer than 2 or 3 minutes. A window of opportunity.
Where's the jewelry?
Plato said again. Reacher said, Find it yourself. The sound of feet on the stairs got a little louder. Plato smiled. He pushed back his cuff and made a show of checking the time on the watch on his wrist, slow and nonchalant. Then he darted forward, fast and nimble and agile, and he aimed a kick at Reacher's side. From a sitting position, Reacher swatted Plato's foot aside and came up on his knees, and Plato stumbled away, and Reacher pivoted up and lunged after him and hit his head hard on the ceiling and scraped his knuckles and collapsed back to his knees. Plato righted himself after a step and danced in and delivered the belated kick, a decent hard blow to the ribs on Reacher's back. Then he stepped away and smiled again. He said,
Where's the jewelry?
Reacher didn't answer. His knuckles were bleeding, and he was pretty sure his scalp was torn. The ceiling crowded down on him. Plato put both hands on his gun. He said,
You get one free pass, and that was it. Where's the jewelry?
So Reacher used his flashlight beam and found the right corridor. Even from a distance, the reflection came back bright and lurid. Plato walked toward it. Fast and jaunty, no problem at all, right up on his toes, like he was outside on the street with just the sky above him. He called over his shoulder,
Bring some bags.
Reacher shuffled over and grabbed a pack of bags, and then he shuffled after Plato, hobbled, restricted, constrained, humiliated, following the little man like a giant caged ape. Plato was in the right corridor. He was doing what Holland had done. He was playing his flashlight beam the length of the shelf and back again, over the gold and the silver and the platinum and the diamonds and the rubies and the sapphires and the emeralds and the clocks and the paintings and the platters and the candlesticks, but not with greed or wonderment in his face. He was assessing the size of the packaging task. That was all. He said,
You can start bagging this shit up, but first, show me the power.
Reacher led him across the chamber, heels and knuckles and ass, low and deferential, all the way to the third of the three tunnels packed with meth. Still a staggering sight. Bricks stacked 10 high, 10 deep, a whole solid wall of them 100 feet long, undisturbed for 50 years. Old, yellowing glass scene glowing dull in the flashlight beams. 15,000 packs. More than 13 tons.
Is this all of it?
Plato asked. A third of it, Reacher said. The feet on the staircase grew louder. The fuel guy was hustling. Plato said,
We'll take what's here, plus more, until the plane is full.
I thought you sold it to the Russian.
I did.
But you're going to take it anyway?
Only some of it.
That's a double cross.
You killed 3 people for me, and now you're upset that I'm stealing? From some dumb Russian you never met?
I would prefer you to be true to your word, that's all.
Why?
Because I want my daughter to be okay.
She's with those guys out of choice. And 10 hours from now, I'll have no further use for her anyway. I'm never doing business here again.
You'll have no further use for me either.
I'll let you leave, Plato said. You did well for me. Slow, but you got there in the end.
Reacher said nothing.
I am true to my word, just not with Russians.
Behind them they heard the last loud footstep on the last metal stair, and then the first quiet footstep on the concrete floor. They turned and saw one of Plato's men arrive, like all of them, about 5'7" in height, therefore stooped, but not too much. He had his gun on his chest and a flashlight in his hand. He was looking all around. Not curious, just a guy getting the job done. He found the fuel line and picked it up one-handed and pulled it out straight and jerked it and heaved serpentine waves into it to work out the kinks. He asked in Spanish where the tank was, and Reacher waited until Plato translated the question, and then he pointed his flashlight beam at the relevant corridor. The guy hauled the heavy hose after him and disappeared. Plato said,
"Go start bagging the jewelry."
Reacher left him communing with his stock in trade and shuffled the long way around. 5,000 gallons in a homemade tank. He wanted to be sure the connection was secure. He was going to be down there until Plato died, which was a minimum of a few more minutes and a maximum of 10 more hours, and he preferred one thing to worry about at a time. He found Plato's guy finishing up. The brass end of the hose was neatly socketed into a matching brass fitment brazed into the end wall of the tank. The guy was nudging it one way, nudging it the other, feeling for looseness or play. He seemed to find none, so he opened a tap on the tank side of the joint. Reacher heard the fuel flow into the hose. Not much of it. 3 gallons, maybe 4, that was all. Gravity only, into the length of hose that lay on the floor at a lower level than the tank itself. For the rest, the pump would have to prime itself and then suck hard and haul it all up and out. Reacher watched the joint. A single fat drop of kerosene formed where 2 fiber washers were compressed. It beaded large and waited and then fell to the floor and made a tiny wet stain. That was all. No more. Safe enough. Plato's guy crouched a little and duck-walked back to the stairs and headed upward. Reacher shuffled on around the perimeter of the circular chamber and disappeared into a corridor far from the jewelry and far from the meth. Chapter 45. Do it. Short, simple words. A short, simple command. Or a short, simple plea. Or a short, simple request. Or a short, simple half of a bargain. A very attractive bargain. Do it and get extremely rich and live happily forever with respect and veneration from your whole community. They would be the men who took down Plato. Saints, heroes, songs would be sung, tales would be told. The guy from seat 4A looked at the guy from seat 4B. They both swallowed hard. They were getting very close to doing it. Dangerously close. 100 feet south, a new sentry had just rotated into position. He was facing away, alert and on guard. Way far beyond him, the flares still burned at the distant end of the runway. 50 yards the other side of the Boeing's tail, the third flare still burned. 50 yards beyond the de-icer truck in the other direction, the fourth flare was still a bright crimson puffball. Blue moon, white snow, red flame. The other 3 guys were working in the plane, opening the doors, setting the ladders, working out a system for hauling the stuff hand to hand along a human chain, and then getting it up into the plane and stacking it safely on the floor of the old economy section. The guy from seat 4A hoisted the end of the second hose on his shoulder. The guy from seat 4B hit the switch, and the drum began to unwind. 16 minutes to 4 in the morning. 11 minutes to go.